This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Sharmini Bundell has been chatting with fish fan Axel Meyer of the University of Konstanz in Germany about what it is about the seahorse genome that makes the seahorse so weird.
Seahorses are lovely. I think everybody loves seahorses. There were certain features in the seahorse that define the essence of what a seahorse is. One is they don't have a caudal fin. They have a prehensile tail like a monkey. They have lost their pelvic fins. They have a long snout. They lack teeth. And I think one of the most defining features is that they look like a seahorse. They look, they swim sort of vertically, and the males become pregnant. And that is females transfer eggs into the pouch of a male, and the male broods the babies in his pouch.
And so what you want to know is what's going on in their genes that ended up making this seahorse creature?
Exactly. So the fish has certain traits that are found in all vertebrates. So, for example, the TBX4 gene is a gene that is switched on early on during embryogenesis in all vertebrates, at the place where the pelvic fins or the hind limbs would develop. And all seahorses lack those pelvic fins, those legs, if you will. And one of the things we were interested to understand is what is the developmental basis of this lack of this particular important trait that almost every other fish and vertebrate has. And as we were sequencing the genome, we noticed that we couldn't find this very important gene, TBX4. So not finding the TBX4 gene was a strong hint for us that this is a causal link explaining why they have lost the pelvic fins.
And that was the hint that you got from the genome, but can you actually test that? Is there a way to know?
Right. So what we ended up doing was to make a knockout of this gene in a zebrafish that has this gene normally, that normally has pelvic fins, to see what happens to the phenotype. What does the fish look like if we knock out this gene in this fish? And this was done with CRISPR-Cas. And it turned out that the embryos lost the pelvic fins. So that sort of was strongly suggested that the loss of TBX4 in the seahorse is the explanation, or at least part of the explanation, for how the pelvic fins were lost.
So you made a genetically modified fish that didn't have this key gene.
Exactly.
And did it look like a seahorse?
Well, if you squint your eyes, maybe. It was lacking the pelvic fins, one of the features, one of the traits that is seahorse specific.
So that's only a tiny proportion of seahorsiness.
Right. There's still many mysteries, like the bony skeleton. You know, they lack ribs, but they have sort of this bony armor, like a knight with spine sticking out, and this prehensile tail, and so on. It's completely up in the air how this evolves.
And for those features that you had found associated genes, was it relatively obvious how evolution had ended up taking that path?
More often than not, we ended up finding that duplication, making extra copies of genes, or the loss of certain genes, is a good part of the explanation of why certain features are the way they are. So, for example, the fact that the number of genes involved in smell is so small probably explains the lifestyle of being a visually hunting ambush hunter, of being camouflaged and waiting for the prey to come to you.
So we can see which genes have changed, and we can also see how that fits in with the seahorse's weird lifestyle. But when you looked at the genetics, are seahorses really that different from other fish?
Well, this was something that you couldn't have predicted, but turned out to be the case, that they show the fastest rate of molecular evolution.
By the rate of molecular evolution, are we talking about mutations?
Right. Usually one does not necessarily expect that the rate of molecular and phenotypic evolution are correlated. In the seahorses, I guess one could argue that they have changed in terms of their biology and their behavior and morphology quite a bit. And the fact that we ended up finding that the rate of molecular evolution is fast too might hint, although I wouldn't think that this is necessarily going to hold up, but might hint at a relationship of rate of molecular and phenotypic evolution.
So what's next?
It would be looking at other species that, like I said, still have caudal fins, still have pelvic fins, lay eggs on the belly of the males, but don't have pouches and stuff like that. And then ideally, of course, is to sort of turn a pipefish into a seahorse or vice versa. Frankensteinian experiments, I suppose.
That was Axel Meyer from the University of Konstanz talking to Sharmini Bundell about seahorse genes. That paper is out now at nature.com/nature.